What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
It has been 661 days since October 7th, 2023. In today's casualties update, the Palestinian Health Ministry says 88 people have been murdered and a further in the last 24 hours and a further 374 injured by Israel, which brings the death toll by their count to 59,821 people, with another 144,851 folks injured. That does not, of course, include deaths by starvation, which we will get into later in our interviews today. We know from independent research, like what was published in The Lancet almost a year ago, that the death toll is closer to double than the numbers that the Palestinian Health Ministry is able to report, not by any, you know, fault on their part, during times of, I can't call it war, y'all. I just cannot call it war in times of genocide, right? Being able to get an accurate count, particularly when you're dealing with, right, bodies being left under rubble, a nonstop bombardment that they are doing the best they can. However, as we continue to report on the crisis here at KPFA and KPFK, it's really, really important to me that we paint as accurate of a picture as possible at what is happening on the ground in Palestine. Here on Law and Disorder, we've spent the majority of the Mondays of the last 661 days, right, ever since October 7th, 2023, bringing you Palestine Post. Palestine Post is where we push back on the Israeli and U.S. mainstream media campaigns of disinformation in their attempt to justify a genocide in order to maintain the status quo. We begin today's Palestine Post with headlines analysis with Riad Jarar, an Arab-American political advocate based in Washington, D.C. He is currently the Advocacy Director for the organization Democracy in the Arab World Now, or DON. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for joining us again. I want to start with, because your organization actually put out a statement of demand around this issue, but I want to start with what's actually happening. Starvation in the last 24 hours has killed 14 more people in Gaza, including two children. Two children died of starvation in the Gaza Strip in the last 24 hours. The new fatalities brought the death toll from starvation, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry, to 147, which includes 88 children. Israel announced late on Saturday that it would implement a pause to its assault, quote, in civilian centers and in humanitarian corridors to enable the distribution of aid supply on Sunday, but the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs didn't specify which areas would see this so-called humanitarian pause. Your broad reactions to that, and then I'll get into the demand your organization has made.
My broad reactions are twofold here. The first is we can't and we should not believe anything that Israel says at this point. There is absolutely no humanitarian pause. The genocide goes on full speed. The second point is the numbers that you are citing are accurate regarding the documented Palestinians who have been killed by starvation. But I want to point out that the actual numbers are much higher. Not every Palestinian dying of starvation is getting reported by the local authorities or by the media. And the assumed numbers are much, much higher. We are dealing with widespread famine in Gaza that are caused exclusively by Israel's genocidal policy to starve Palestinians to death.
Thank you for that. We talk a lot about the numbers not being accurate on the show, but we can't say it enough. Your organization put out a statement that the United Nations should immediately declare a state of famine in Gaza. What would or could that do to shift or impact conditions? Or is this more just about documenting war crimes and a demand for international powers to intervene?
It's for the sake of accuracy and for the sake of advocacy. What's going on in Gaza is undoubtedly a famine. The United Nations has a very sophisticated system for evaluating and declaring famines around the world. There were very, very few famines that were ever declared around the world because of the strict system. But the problem with the system is that it's based on data collection, and what's going on in Gaza is that Israel is deliberately blocking data from going outside of the strip. This is not a mistake, it's not a coincidence. This is deliberate effort by Israel to prevent the world from documenting and exposing its ongoing crimes in Gaza. So we saw in the past 21 months, Israel very efficiently cutting Gaza out from the rest of the world, cutting off communications, canceling visas of international observers, denying entry to international community personnel. So what we're saying to the UN now is you cannot use the fact that we don't have enough data from Gaza as an excuse not to do the announcement that we're dealing with famine. And an announcement that we're dealing with a full-fledged famine in Gaza is important because that will lead to more advocacy to end the famine. The famine in Gaza is not led by, you know, like a tsunami or by global warming. It is led by an authoritarian government closing borders there. And that government in Israel is supported exclusively at this point by the U.S. government, by the Trump administration. So declaring it a famine will increase international pressure on the Israeli government and the U.S. government to change their policies and open the border. We don't need any fancy solutions here. We don't need to drop food from the sky. We don't need any, you know, like out of the ordinary solutions. Open the border. There are hundreds of trucks just standing outside the border. There are thousands of trucks that will be there in a few hours from Jordan and from Syria. It's a political decision. And for the UN to announce a famine will create more pressure on Israel to reverse its genocidal policies of starving Palestinians to death.
I just want to mention, and you can comment on it or not, I'm digressing from the questions I have in my script, but I do think that it's super important, right, to talk about, yes, Israel has closed the borders, which all they have to do is open them. And also, like, this famine, like, people's inability to find food, to grow food, to feed themselves is exacerbated and compounded because of the decades-long environmental war that Israel has waged on the Palestinian people, destroying crops, destroying the ability of the land to produce food, chemical warfare to kill any crops that are grown. So it's a double whammy, yeah?
That's right. The illegal blockade, the embargo imposed by Israel on Gaza did not start 21 months ago. It started almost 20 years ago. And Israel has systemically destroyed the Palestinian agricultural industry and all means of gathering food. Palestinians are able and willing, and they prefer to make their own food, whether by agriculture or by fishing, and Israel has banned them from getting food from either. More recently, as of last week, Israel has banned Palestinians from fishing at all in the sea, which is another source of food for them. So the destruction of Palestinians' ability to get food was very deliberate, and the cutting off of any potential of food from coming from the outside world is also very deliberate. All what we need now is a political decision by the genocidal maniacs running the Israeli government to let food in and stop starving Palestinian babies to death every day.
For those of you just tuning in, this is Palestine Post on Law and Disorder. We're in conversation with Raed Jarar, an Arab-American political advocate based in Washington, D.C., currently the Advocacy Director for Democracy in the Arab World Now, or DAWN. Raed, we were just talking about the demand that the U.N. state that there's a famine happening in Gaza to increase international pressure. Well, 28 countries, right, just released a statement condemning Israel's starvation of Palestinians. Howsomever, in an article that's in Al Jazeera right now, the headline is "Countries Denounce Israel But Keep Trading With It." I mean, some of these countries include, folks who have recognized Palestine statehood, right? Like I cheered when Israel, excuse me, Ireland, not Israel, when Ireland, particularly with its revolutionary history in the north, right, acknowledged Palestine as a state, and was disappointed when I looked at the list of countries in the Al Jazeera article and saw that Ireland, too, is continuing to trade with Israel. So, empty rhetoric if recognizing Palestine statehood is done whilst continuing economic engagement with Israel?
Yeah, but recognizing the Palestinian statehood is meaningless. What does that mean? What does that mean? I am at a loss of words. It's very symbolic. It's literally meaningless to talk about governance and statehood at a time of apartheid and genocide. There are hundreds of Palestinians who are going to be killed today. Tomorrow in the morning, we're going to wake up and we're going to read the same news, and there will be more hundreds of Palestinians will be starved to death and bombed by the Israeli war machine using U.S. weapons again tomorrow. Like, the world cannot continue these symbolic gestures. There are very solid actions that could and must be taken today. We can't wait no longer. We can't no longer wait for these kind of gestures to just absorb public opinion's pressure by making symbolic moves here and there. I'll tell you, the most important and immediate thing to do is to stop the genocide and for an international community intervention in that. That could happen immediately through the United Nations General Assembly, not the UN Security Council that has been deemed inoperable by U.S. vetoes. The United Nations General Assembly could and should hold an emergency session under Uniting for Peace in 24 hours. And that session could be asked for by any member of the United Nations. Any country can hold a UNGA emergency session. And in that emergency session, they can do the following. Number one, send peacekeeping forces to Gaza to end the genocide. And that is something that has happened before. It is under the authority of the UNGA to send peacekeeping forces when the UN Security Council is at a deadlock. And that happened in 1956 in Egypt when the UN Security Council was unable to act. That's the most important and fastest thing to do. In addition to that, Israel must be kicked out of the UN General Assembly the same way that South Africa was kicked out of the General Assembly during the apartheid era. An apartheid regime like Israel should be immediately kicked out of the General Assembly and subjected to sanctions, as you're saying. And that is also what happened with South Africa in the 1970s and 80s. All individual countries imposed sanctions on South Africa. And today, all of these countries should stop trading with Israel and impose immediate sanctions with Israel. And of course, the most obvious one, the lowest hanging fruits. And if countries have not done this so far, they're not just not being nice. They're actually partners in crime and involved in murder if they have not stopped sending weapons to Israel. So an armed embargo on Israel is also a must. So what I'm saying now is that these tools are immediate, should happen now, sending a peacekeeping force, kicking Israel out of the United Nations General Assembly, imposing immediate sanctions, all comprehensive sanctions on Israel, no trade with Israel, and an arms embargo. These things should happen today. We can't wait any longer. on symbolic moves, and Macron putting a statement saying that in a few months from now, France is going to recognize a state. And that is unbelievable, honestly. I mean, as we speak, France and other countries are meeting in New York for a conference this week. It's called the Conference for Peaceful Resolution for this question of Palestine. And that conference could be the point where the international community comes together and says, enough is enough. We're not going to watch more Palestinians get killed every day while we put, you know, empty statements. We're going to take action now. So, you know, Dawn and many other organizations are sending letters and memorandums and other action for the conference in New York today and tomorrow, led by France and Saudi Arabia and other countries, where we're expecting the majority of the world countries to be represented at the conference of the United Nations. We're asking them to do action now. This is not time for theoretical conversations about the governance and how many states Palestinians will have in the future. This is time to step in and say, let's recognize this as a genocide. Let's stop the genocide today.
Right. All right, Red, I have to cut us short. I will have you back, but I got to go raise some money so I can make sure we can continue to have conversations like this. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, and thank you for your important work for peace and justice.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.